Yeah, how do I sound, Mr. Wayne? The level's correct. I'm just trying to keep it kosher. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yo, check this out. Drive around town, top down, black friends. Of course, I'm blasting my HD radio. Monday through Friday, 8 to 11. My dial's locked on that hot talk station. Tim Conway Jr., his show's so great. OG Valley Stud reppin' 818. Been hearing forever how his dad's so good, but you won't find a dude who's less Hollywood. At 97.1, I'm his biggest fan, but he still needs a partner. Yeah, I said it, man. Hey, Jerry, cue up that big red mic. Make it hot. Let the stud start the show.
All right. Welcome, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Happy Friday to everybody. And we got a major, major show for everybody today. We have Adam Carolla calling up momentarily. We'll chat with him for a little while. And then at 9 o'clock, we have probably six or seven of the best horse handicappers on the planet, including my father, Tim Conway, Jimmy Costello, I believe Frankie Renzulli, Ted Ziegenbusch, Mark Verge. Now, some of these names might not mean anything to you, but these guys, Doug O'Neill, I believe, is going to call us, and then Aaron Grider, the jockey, as well. So in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to try to figure out who's going to win the Kentucky Derby, which is tomorrow, the first Saturday of May, and it will happen in Churchill Downs, outside of Louisville, Kentucky. And we'll try to get you the winner tonight. So stay tuned for the 9 o'clock hour, because that's going to be a major hour where we're all going to figure out who's going to win the Kentucky Derby. And there's 20 horses in it, so it, you know, the favorite may not show. Now, if the favorite doesn't come in, there's three horses that are favorites. And if they don't come in, the next long shots are going to pay, you know, 40, 50, 60 bucks. And you might be able to make some money. And you can bet it at Hollywood Park. So slide on out there. I think you can bet it at Santa Anita as well. And I'm not sure about Del Mar. But anyway, so the Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. And we'll talk about that in the 9 o'clock hour. And then in the 10 o'clock hour, Jay Leno, everybody. Jay Leno and Arsenio Hall from the big show on Wednesday. So it's going to be action-packed. There's going to be, you know, I hate to steal a phrase from Stern, but it's almost too much show. It really is. So anyway, so at 9 o'clock, the Kentucky Derby, and then at 10 o'clock, Jay Leno and our good friend Arsenio Hall. And then Adam Carolla's calling up. Please, just way too much. All right, before we get to Adam here, and we'll talk to him momentarily, I saw something today online that we may not be able to get to today. Maybe we'll do it on Monday. And I actually contacted the guy to see if we could help him out. But this is a true sign of the times. This is a guy in Indiana. He lives outside of Indianapolis. And he bought his wife a dog for $2,000 a year ago, right? And they're making payments on the dog because they couldn't afford a $2,000 dog. So they're making like, you know, 40 or 50 bucks a month, and they're paying this guy off. Well, the real estate market goes in the toilet. The guy loses his job. They still owe, I believe, $1,400 or $1,200 on this dog. And now the dog's being repoed. I hate to say that. I hate to say it because it's not funny, but they're actually repoing the dog. They got a court order, and the guy was really shaken up today, shaking or shooken, I don't know. And I talked to him today, but we're gonna try to get him in on Monday, and to call up on Monday. But it is a true sign of the times when a guy who is paying for a dog monthly can no longer afford the payments, and now his dog is being repossessed. So we'll try to chat with that guy on Monday. All right, folks, the guy who starts this station off every morning at 6 a.m., Adam Carolla. What an introduction, huh?
Jimmy, awesome intro.
Thank you very much.
Hey, the guy who was, we got him batting leadoff for no particular reason in our order.
Hey, I want to ask you something. I had this happen to me yesterday. I know you work with tools, and I know there's a lot of tools that are battery operated nowadays. And you have two kids. I've got one kid, so there's a lot of batteries in the house, right?
Right.
Can somebody tell these a-holes that they've got to make a distinction, a bigger distinction between AA and AAA batteries?
Yeah, I know. I
don't have the eyes to see the small AAAs anymore on the little toys that my daughter plays with.
Well, not only that, but could we just go ahead and establish what comes with what? You know what I mean? I mean, like, everything that comes, half the stuff now comes with the batteries, and the other half doesn't come with the batteries, and it's, right. it's just confusing enough to screw you up each time.
Right.
I really do think, like, the greatest gift you could ever buy another human being is 500,000 AAA and AA batteries, right. and here's 100 Cs.
Right.
Too, just,
well, they have the Cs and Ds locked off. I always know the difference between a C and D. It's the AAA and those AAs, man.
I know, but it's one of these things, too, where it's kind of like currency, you know? We should just decide, you know, we don't have, I use dollar bills and you use francs, you know? it's pretty much just the dollar bill. It saves confusion. We should, I say, completely eliminate one or the other.
Right, yeah.
Look, Are you telling me that VCR remote won't run off AAA and it will run off AA, or yeah. how does this work?
And how much more powerful is AA than AAA? I mean, it's got to be very close.
I got to say, I know there is less than an ounce between the two of them, and they both right. seem about the same size. And yes, I've been burned many times by that. I also do that thing where I have to study everything like a chimpanzee with a learning disorder to try to figure out what end of the battery goes in first.
Right.
Talk about lowering your self-esteem. You know, you got that Maglite that takes 22 D-cell batteries, and you realize after you put them all in and screwed the tap down with a pair of channel locks, they're all wearing backwards. Shouldn't we have a universal sort of color? You know, when you have to stare at something and you go, let's see, does the nipple end go on this side? Or is it the flat end that goes on? Wait a minute. Do I go back and forth? You know, positive, negative, or should we just go negative? Wouldn't it be like, I feel like I'm going to be laying on my deathbed and I will have consumed 4 years of my life staring at an open orifice that takes batteries trying to figure out which end goes on which end. And by the way, the black plastic stamped plus a negative in a black background is no help at all.
Right.
Whoa. I mean,
yeah, at least in a car battery, they do lock it off with red and black.
Right. But in the remote control for any game, any remote, anything at all, it's always you have to stare at. Like, you really would. It is one of the instances where you actually would have an advantage if you were blind.
Right.
You could put your finger in there and feel the little plus sign that was punched into the field of black plastic.
Yeah, because your sense of feel is now heightened because you don't have the lights anymore.
I don't know how many times I said to my wife, we got to get a blind guy to put the batteries in this universal remote. I can't do it.
Well, I was at Home Depot, and you know, my wife wanted to buy 50 of them, and you always think to yourself, Jesus, 50 batteries, we'll never go through that. And then literally like 2 months later, you're buying another 50 of them. I don't know where they all go. But I also was buying some bug spray because we have ants in the house.
Sure.
And I'm spraying these ants on the outside, and I must have killed about 10,000 of them today.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This has got to be the dumbest insect on the planet because there's literally like a holocaust every day in every city with the ants, and they never pass that information down to the other ants.
I know, and it's funny too because whenever you see those documentaries on the Discovery Channel, they like the ants communicate through vibration, through feeling. Like, we don't even know how it is that the ants are able to leave their nest, travel several hundred miles, find their way back. Is it through pheromones? Is it through ultrasonic communication? How about somebody give the nest a heads up that Conway Jr.'s on the loose again, and he's got some raid, and he's not in a good mood?
You know what? You're absolutely right, though. I never thought about this, but it's much harder to kill ants when you're in a good mood. You know? If you're in a crappy mood, I mean, you wipe them out and you sort of laugh at them and stamp on them with your feet.
Yeah, you got to get your game face on. You get frustrated by some battery sizes. You go out to blow a button, and you don't come back until you've essentially created an atrocity, a war atrocity, genocide of one insect. I would like to know what insect I've taken out the most. I have to say ants by a
Yeah, probably
going
ants.
Away, right?
But you know, ants like you know when guys are in the trenches in World War II and Vietnam and now Iraq, to get a soldier out of the trench, you've got to either kill the guy next to him or throw a hand grenade in there, or you know a lot of AK-47s or dump a couple of shells in there and they jump out. If you just water your driveway, simple water brings these ants out and they give up to you and they come to the surface where you can hit them hard.
You know, I used to have a policy of removing bugs from my house.
Right.
Like, I'd see the spider on the ceiling of my bedroom, and I'd catch it with a cup, and then I'd bring it outside.
I used to do that, too.
I realized all the spider would do is go back outside, bang another spider, knock her up, and then come back in again with his new wife and kids. Like, I realize there's a reason. By the way, do you think the spider's confused? He's on the ceiling of your bedroom. Obviously, he wasn't born there. He came into the house.
Right.
You think by throwing the spider 2 foot out of your house, like, well, that spider has now been thrown via my dry coffee mug. That spider's now 8 foot out of the front side of my house. He'll never make it back in my lifetime. Why wouldn't that same spider? Like, what else would you expect? Like, if what else would be in your house that if you just went and put it outside, wouldn't find its way back
right.
in your house?
And you know what? And there's this big creepy thing that flies around. It's got big wings. It looks like flying spider.
Yeah, like the daddy long legs.
Yeah, and they say, and everyone says, no, don't kill that. That thing eats mosquitoes.
I know. You know, they do that thing. That somebody will try to talk you into the good insects versus the bad insects. They're all bad. That's number one. There's bad and worse. There's no good. You know,
I love you. You run about the spider having sort of an unusual level of power when it comes to poison.
Well, I do. There's a few things like. The notion, like once in a while, you'll go throw the spider out, and some a-hole will pop off and say, "No, listen. He's capturing the bad. He's going after the bad stuff. They're not after you. They're going after the bad stuff. You know, they'll do that with different insects.
Right.
My thing is like, look. When's the last time I walked into my kitchen and saw a spider beating the crap out of a couple of roaches?
Right.
I never see them capture anything bad or do anything bad.
No.
All they do is mess with me.
Yeah, they just, you know, the spider webs that eventually you walk through. And nobody sees the web other than you, and you get those crazy hands going.
Right, and Mrs. Kravitz is watering her petunias next door and thinks Conway's not taking his seizure meds. Conway must be off the bottle for a couple of days now. He's got the DTs. I know. Look, I think we can agree on this. No reason for AA and AAA. I'll let the guys over at EverReady decide, but once they make a decision, that's it.
Right, exactly.
From this day forth, it's either AA or AAA. And there are no good insects, only bad insects and worse insects.
That's exactly right. All right, folks, Adam Carolla is with us. And I don't know if you've done this because of me, but I think I was the trendsetter. I think I was the soothsayer when it comes to this. But when I drive around in the valley at night, and it's past midnight or something, I stop at a red light, I notice nobody's around, and I press on.
Yeah, that's what I do, too.
Yeah, because you know what? I've got places to go.
That's the way I look at it, and I look at the chances of me getting T-boned by drunk driver or rolled by gangbanger much higher than me getting a ticket from Johnny Law, and much, by the way, all right, and my daughter's a little needy. Also, you got to look at it this way. You know, we were just talking about the spider and his web. What people don't realize, like people will freak out. because you ran the red light. But the reality is the cop doesn't give you a ticket for that. The cop waits for you to come to him.
Right.
He sets up his little trap. He spins his web, and you're just the moth who flies into his porch light.
Right.
You don't realize it, but he's parked up the driveway, and he's waiting for you to roll through the four-way stop sign.
Right, yeah.
He doesn't give you tickets. Like, when's the last time, and have you ever got, you know what it's like? It's like you can shoplift anything you want as long as you put it in your hand and forget about it and walk out of the front door of the store.
Right. or under the cart.
Right. If you sit at a red light, look over your left shoulder, your right shoulder, look in your rear view, don't see any headlights anywhere, you can go through it. And I do every morning on the way to work, and I've never gotten a ticket because they're not hanging out there.
Right, exactly. And at that hour, they're not worried about pulling you over either. All right, folks, Adam Carolla is with us, and I hear the two kids in the background.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a guy come over. My wife had a guy come over, and he put all the locks on the cabinets and the toilet and all that crap.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that when I was a kid. I distinctly remember being in fourth grade and breaking open a thermometer with mercury in it and playing with the mercury for days.
Jesus Christ.
That's what happened to your hair. I took literally, no exaggeration, when I was back in Philadelphia, I found some bullets, some cartridges in the garage of one of my dad's friend's houses, and me and Rod, his kid, banged on it with a hammer until it went off. And I'm fine. You're fine, right? We both
absolutely
landed on our feet.
And you know what? You learn from that, too. Not to do it.
That's right.
You see, my brother never learned that. My brother was cleaning out up in Big Bear. My brother Pat was cleaning out a garage for a guy. And it was in the winter. And so they started a fire to keep warm and also, you know, to try to burn some of the paper so they didn't have to throw so much crap in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And they found a box of shells, and my brother threw it in the fire and said, let's see what happens here.
Right.
And he took one to the side of the head that just grazed him along the side of the head.
Wow.
And it was, you know, and it was one of those hollow points, too, so it would have gone right through his head.
Right.
But, and he was, I believe he was 31 when this happened.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the rooster got one late, man.
That is, that's awesome. Yeah, son of Mr. Tudball takes a slug in the forehead.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it would have been a better story if he took a direct hit, but I understand why you're still grateful it turned out this way.
Yeah, I could only tell, if he did take a direct hit and he went down, then I could only tell it on the anniversary of that day and have to be somber about it.
It would be nice because you'd get recruited by the people that do PSAs for a bullet disposal safety.
Right. Yeah, it makes some dough.
You'd do this thing where you'd go, hi. And you'd start it the way they start all those ones where you go, I do a lot of kidding on the radio, but one thing that's deadly serious is gun safety.
Right.
You do that one.
Right, yeah, when comics do it.
Right.
Yeah, like when Martin Sheen talks about spending more time with your kids.
Yeah, I do like the super generic ones. Just, hey, go out and spend some time with the family. I'm always like, let me write this down. What's he saying? Hold on. Honey, I don't know if I heard him right. Did he say sodomize or did he say spend some time? I'm not sure. Well, by the way, whatever Martin Short has to say, I follow his lead when it comes to rearing kids. That's the way I roll.
Yeah.
I like the one. My favorite one, it was it's a couple years old, but it was David Schwimmer.
Oh, yeah, right.
David Schwimmer's like, hey, talk to your kids, which first off, I find condescending overall, as if I wouldn't talk to my kids.
Right.
Number one.
And he doesn't have any.
He's happily banging his way through Hollywood.
Right.
Number one, so I'm not so sure if he's a great guy to discuss child rearing. And as I recall, he was on a sitcom called Friends where he had a kid, except for he was a delinquent dad. She was being raised by his kid was being raised by the lesbian couple.
Right.
It wasn't him. So perhaps not the greatest spokesperson. like being a dad.
Right.
How many celebrities do you have to get through before you get to Schwimmer to do a PSA on dad?
Right.
Jan Michael Vincent did not return our call. Gary Busey's publicist said he's out of town.
Right. Scott Peterson's busy. We can't get cameras in there.
I did talk to Lyle Menendez through about a 3-inch thick piece of Lexan. He said yes, but the warden said no. He would not furlough him to do this. Well, I guess we'll go with Schwimmer. Oh, wait a minute. He's on top of a 19-year-old right now. Okay, when he's done...
Yeah, he's got 7 Vicodin in his system, 3 shots of whiskey, and he's on top of it, a chick who turned an 18 about an hour ago.
That's right, baby. No, yeah. Yeah, that's great. And I like the generic, hi, Sonny. I like the generic ones, like when you get behind the municipal vehicle, like the street sweeper.
Right.
Or, you know, the cop car, and it says, end senior abuse, and you're like, all right, well, that's going to do it for me. You really opened my eyes.
Right.
I'm going on a one-man crusade. Honey, I'm quitting my job.
You know,
somebody's got to put an end to the senior abuse. By the way, I was on my way to my grandmother's house to beat the bejesus out of her, but you know what? That little swatch of paper turned me around. I'm a new man now. Done and done. My days of beating the crap out of the elderly are behind me. Really?
It's like they have a poster in Encino on the bus bench that says, if you don't want your babe, you can bring it to any police or fire station in the first 2 weeks. Like, that's an Encino Hills problem.
Yeah. How many kids, listen, we gotta stack them high with a pitchfork over here. Turns out lots of rich Jewish couples don't want their kids.
Yeah, and they try to take them to fire stations.
Yeah.
Also, you know, the one PSA that everyone sort of agrees on is the one where they're renting out the apartment and the black guy calls, the Hispanic guy calls.
I love that one.
And then,
hello, this is Lucian.
Yeah, this is Kumar. I think Jerry has it here somewhere. But
yeah, it's the best money wasting PSA, because it's funny. It's a great PSA because it's in its attempt to end racial discrimination, it's simultaneously racially offensive.
Everybody, to everybody, yeah.
Right.
I think here it is. Here you go, Jerry, you got it? Here we go.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
Senior Wences.
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
Tyrone Washington's going to call next, right?
Right. Help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham.
There he is.
I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Oh, yeah, that's how life works.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, see, I'm from Los Angeles, and a Mexican can't find an apartment in Los Angeles. They're all owners.
You know,
they will not rent an apartment to a Mexican in Los Angeles. Wait a minute.
Right.
Hold on, let me check some of the more recent data that's come out. That's the only people live in an apartment.
You know, they never asked the guy who owns the apartment, you know, what his thoughts are. Like, if I owned an apartment, I'd be pretty, I'd be pretty cautious who I, you know, rented the apartment out to.
Hey, there's a guy doing a fake black voice. Do you want to rent it to him?
Yeah, I wouldn't rent it to the guy doing the fake black voice, the bizarre Indian accent, or the over-the-top, you know, Anglophile at the end.
Kelsey Grammer wants to rent our 2-bedroom in Van Nuys. What do you say?
I'd say no to everybody there.
The other thing that's ridiculous about it is, at the end, they're like, if you've been a victim of apartment discrimination, how do you know? I mean, I was poor. I lived in the Valley. I'm a white guy. I tried to rent apartments 300 times, and I called the place, and they're like, we rented the place out. What am I supposed to do? Fire a letter off to Pueblo, Colorado? I've been robbed. Once again, the white man has been held down. How do you know?
Yeah, how are you going to? I mean, you're trying to rent an apartment for $395 a month. How much resources do you have to investigate these people?
But the other thing, too, is like, If there's an ad in the newspaper that says Nissan pickup for sale, and you call it up, and the guy's like, yeah, I already sold it. What do? Slam the phone down and yell racism rears its ugly head again?
Right.
Maybe the guy sold the pickup truck.
You know, when these apartments, when they say $395 moves you in, they don't. It should say dot, 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 and the sheriff moves you out. Because that's what's going to happen to you.
That's right.
If you're spending $395 a month in an apartment, eventually something in your life is going to go wrong. There's going to be a repo guy at your door, and the sheriff's going to lock your house up.
Yeah, it's like, well, right now there's an 1¾-inch solid core masonite door there. Eventually, there'll just be one strip of that yellow tape. But don't worry, you'll not be around to see that day.
You'll be long gone.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, thanks for checking in with us, dude.
Always a pleasure.
I really
Jimmy.
Appreciate it, man. I know you work your ass off, and it's always fun to start the Friday evening off with you.
I don't look at this as work with
hey,
you.
Hey, look at you. So can we plan on next Friday as well?
Why not?
I like trapping you into this kind of crap on the air. All right, folks, go see The Hammer. Where it's playing nationwide.
You should go to the website. Go to the thehammerthemovie.com and find out where it's playing. But I must warn everyone, this is about it. If you haven't seen it in the theater, you're not going to unless you get out.
Yeah.
I think it's in Manhattan Beach and probably in Pasadena.
Perfect.
Too, now, but check it out.
All right. Now, you also have a big webcast on Monday.
Ah, yeah. We do.
Yeah.
That's right. Timmy, someone slid you a note.
I know.
Is Silver in there?
No, it's Randy Wang. He's yelling in my ear.
Oh, Randy.
Yeah, he says, tell that a-hole it's webcams or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you've never been on TV before. Like, you should be really excited for Monday's broadcast.
Listen, you know, Dancing with the Stars, you know, was about a 4 on the adrenaline rush-o-meter.
Right.
But doing a webcam, doing a webisode
right.
on KLSX.
Yeah, it's a webinar.
I got to take, like, a Valium just to settle myself before that mic heats up Monday morning.
I know.
I'm just pacing in a cold sweat.
I know. It really is. I mean, radio is the only business where they tell you, you know, hey, really get excited. They tell you to get excited about stuff.
I know.
Because there's no natural excitement there whatsoever.
No, because they know all our, like, endorphin centers have been burnt out over the years. Yeah, we're doing a nice big Cinco de Mayo show. It's funny because I just make jokes about Mexicans all year and then honor them on Cinco de Mayo.
Perfect.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing our show Monday morning, you know, the usual bells and whistles. But the point is if people want a little peek behind the curtain, see how. I think people are kind of, you know, people know what I look like, but I think people want to see the lay of the land.
Right. I'll be tuning
in. 2 minutes and then move on.
Yeah. I'll be the first guy online. All right.
I know you're up at 6.
Yeah, I'm still up at 6.
Yeah. Right.
All right, buddy. Again, thanks for coming on, man.
Always a pleasure.
All right, there he goes, folks. Adam Carolla, everybody. Go out and see his movie, The Hammer, this weekend. What a funny guy. All right, gang, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Big night tonight at 9 o'clock. We're going to figure out who's going to win the Kentucky Derby. And we might be able to make you some money. And at 10 o'clock, Jay Leno and Arsenio Hall. How can you ask for anything more? It's probably why we're number one in Riverside, according to the latest ratings. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM.